560 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Abortion opponents in Wisconsin are filing complaints with the state's licensing agency. They claim doctors are performing abortions illegally in the state. Nate Wegehout has more.
Pro-Life Wisconsin filed three complaints last week. The complaints were filed against Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, its medical director Kathy King, and OBGYN Kristen Lyerly. Planned Parenthood began offering abortion services in Madison and Milwaukee earlier this month. Dr. Lyerly spoke with the Devil's Advocates radio show last night. She says she doesn't even give abortions in Wisconsin.
The address that's listed, the two addresses, are the addresses of the two abortion clinics, the one in Madison and the one in Milwaukee, neither of which I work at because I work in Minnesota.
Dr. Lyerly is a frequent guest on several shows on the Civic Media Network. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
State lawmakers are considering limiting the rights of transgender Wisconsinites. One bill getting a hearing yesterday would outlaw gender-affirming care for people younger than 18. The author is Republican State Representative Scott Allen.
If people say that the science shows that medical gender transition helps minors, ask them for peer-reviewed long-term clinical evidence. You won't find any.
But Democratic State Representative Lisa Subek says a long list of medical and psychological experts oppose the bill.
What I hear you saying is that you think you know better than the physicians, than the doctors, than the psychologists who have grave concerns about the mental health consequences of denying care to those who most need it.
Other bills getting hearings yesterday would regulate gender participation in sports. A new poll suggests most Americans are getting more comfortable with wind turbines, but local opposition is still a factor when new wind farms are proposed and developed. Here's Mike Mohn.
Josh Hone, who does consulting work for these projects, says it indicates a growing acceptance of what needs to be done to respond to climate change. But he says at the local level, these are land use decisions that can get the attention of the community.
Every project has a trade-off, especially in terms of aesthetics and the idea of community character.
Hone says local leaders and developers need to be transparent right away about the scope of a project. He suggests this can help overcome backlash that sometimes can be clouded by misinformation. I'm Mike Mohn.
New drivers aged 16 and 17 in Wisconsin will have to start taking road tests again next year. The Division of Motor Vehicles is lifting a pandemic-era waiver on road tests. About 144,000 young drivers got their licenses during the waiver. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For Lake Air 1260 AM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. The bodies of two men were found in the St. Croix River on Tuesday. The St. Croix County Sheriff's Office said they were called yesterday morning about a fishing boat going in circles south of Hudson. A dive team found the body of one man just after noon, and another man's body was found later in the evening. Water in the area the bodies were found is 30 to 40 feet deep. The Sheriff's Office did not release any other information. A suspect in a bank robbery in Eau Claire has been arrested. 25-year-old Maxwell Lubick was arrested near Superior today. He's accused of taking cash from Wisconsin Credit Union on Eau Claire's west side Monday afternoon. He fled the bank on a bike, which was found on a trail south of Eau Claire. Anybody with any more information on the case is asked to call the Eau Claire Police Department. The FBI is helping with the investigation. The National Weather Service in the Twin Cities says that we'll have highs in the mid-60s today and tomorrow before things cool off going into the weekend. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Brewers lose again to the Diamondbacks. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Here's what it sounded like last night in the Brewers clubhouse after the game. That was the sound of the players with high fives, pats on the back, and hugs goodbye for each other as the Brewers' season came to an end. A 5-2 loss to the Arizona Diamondbacks before a packed house at American Family Field. Manager Craig Counsell.
This was a great team, and I think I told the guys, I said, you know, as you move forward in your careers, you should want to create teams like this. This was a team you want to be on. It made baseball a lot of fun.
The Brewers added several players at the trade deadline and are one of the hottest teams in the league heading into the playoffs. Mark Canha was acquired from the Mets in August.
Some bounces didn't go our way. You know, a lot of balls hit right at people. It's so tough because my time here was, since being traded here, it was just amazing. It's just an amazing group of guys. It was just such a fun group to compete with every day, and it sucks. It sucks to go out, you know, in the first round, and you know, it felt like a team that is capable of going the distance.
Down 5-2 in the bottom of the eighth, the Brewers loaded the bases. I asked Arizona's manager, Torey Lovello, what he told his players about making a pitching change.
That stopping momentum and stopping these big runs is the most important thing in playoff baseball. So you have to do some uncharacteristic things. That's what I felt was the need. I trusted Andrew Salfrank, and I just wanted to change the mojo and change the momentum, and it worked out well.
So the next question is, will Craig Counsell be back next year as the Brewers manager, Christian Yelich?
I mean, he's been a huge part of why this place is the way it is now. Being in a small market and being a consistent winner and having a good competitive team every year that is either in the playoffs or you know, we missed it by one game last year. You know, I love playing for him. I hope that continues. He's done a great job.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
For the Stu Daniels Show on this Thursday morning. It's the 5th of October. Come on in, get a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, have a seat and relax for a few minutes. Going to try to get to some news and some sports and some weather. Hope you're having a good day so far. I'm your host, Stu Daniels, a.k.a. Stu Man, the Newsman. And taking a look outside the window today in La Crosse, going to be mostly sunny and breezy, high around 69 degrees. In Eau Claire, mostly sunny and breezy, high around 65 degrees. And in Richland Center today, mostly sunny with a slight chance of rain in the afternoon, high around 74. In Amory, mostly sunny and breezy, high around 61. In Hayward today, partly sunny, breezy, and a chance of rain, high around 61 degrees. Now you can tell the cold front came through. Going to be cooler today and even cooler tomorrow from what I've heard. Well, you know the big story in sports. Man, it was a sad night for those of us who are baseball fans in Wisconsin. Yeah, the Brewers lost to the Diamondbacks last night, ending their season. Arizona now moving on to play the Dodgers. And the Brewers will be back next spring for a new season. Yes. So where do we want to start today as far as the news? Well, I think the first thing I want to get to is some assistance for people with childcare problems. You know, there is a childcare crisis going on, not only here in Wisconsin, but across the country. There are not enough workers in the childcare business these days. And so there are not enough places to put children if you're a parent. The spaces are getting fewer and far between, as they say.
and it's getting hard to find places to put kids. And so what we're seeing is a lot of parents actually quitting their jobs in order to stay home with the kids. And you could argue that that's a good thing for the kids, right? Be home with the parents, or at least one of them. But it definitely puts a it changes the family dynamics when you planned to have parents working, but now all of a sudden you need to have one of the parents at home to take care of the kids. But there is some assistance available. The Wisconsin Counties Association's Forward Analytics put together a report, and so there are places to turn. If you are a parent looking for help with your child care, there's an article here from the Appleton Post-Crescent. This was updated 3 hours ago by Madison Lammert, and the headline says, "Are you struggling to afford child care in Wisconsin? Well, here is where to find help. With the average annual cost of childcare in Wisconsin easily surpassing that of college, many families may struggle to afford childcare. However, there are places they can turn to for help. A new report from Wisconsin Counties Association's Forward Analytics found childcare for one child can average up to 18% to 36% of a family's income. For families with two children, costs can reach as high as 70% of their income," the report said. These figures far exceed the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services 7% affordability threshold. Things stand to get worse as Wisconsin's child care accounts, which distributes stabilization payments to child care programs across the state, is set to end in January. Many child care businesses, which already run on thin profit margins, will be forced to charge parents more money to make up for this lost revenue. Because this program, child care accounts, because the funding was cut in half this spring, some families are already facing this reality. So here are some avenues to help Wisconsin families navigate increasing child care costs. First of all, you can check out Wisconsin Shares, the state's child care subsidy program. Wisconsin Shares assists eligible families by paying a portion of their monthly child care costs. The amount a family receives depends on a variety of factors, including the child or the children's ages, family income, family size, and how long the children spend in care. Recently, the program started allowing participating families to request funds to pay registration fees too. Wisconsin families who have a child younger than 13 or a child with a disability younger than 19 may qualify for Wisconsin Shares if they meet certain requirements. Families remain eligible until their income reaches 85% of the state's median income. Wisconsin Shares is funded by a variety of sources, including federal funding like Child Care and Development Fund and temporary assistance for needy families. Also, another thing you can do is see if you qualify for Head Start. Statewide, there are a number of sites for Head Start, a federal learning program for children ages birth to five. Children in this age range who are from families who meet certain income standards are eligible for Head Start care free of charge. Children in foster care, those who are homeless and whose families receive temporary assistance for needy families or supplemental security income, Social Security, or I should say SSI, are also eligible. Shelley Bishop, who is from CESA 7 Head Start, Early Head Start Director, or is the director of that program, said families who receive Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, the SNAP, and W-2 assistance are also eligible. And you can also look for local grants to help pay for childcare. Some grants are available to help families pay for childcare in specific areas of the state. Examples include in Sheboygan, there is a Connections Scholarship Program. In Fond du Lac, there is a program called Connections, I guess it's the same thing, the Connections Scholarship Program. There is a Good Start grant from Child Caring, Inc., and I think that's through United Way. Another thing you can do is see if your child care offers help. Some child care programs across the state are coming up with their own ways to help their families pay for care. The child care your children attend, the child care facility your children attend, or the child care facility you hope to enroll in may be one of them. There is, let's see, I'm going through the article here to see which of these programs may apply to families in Western Wisconsin who are listening to this program right now. And they have a program in Brown County. And also there's a program called Bridges Child Enrichment Center. And it says it is primarily funded by United Way Fox Cities. So again, that's going to be more on the eastern side of Wisconsin. There are also YMCAs around the state, and some offer some form of tuition assistance for families in need who are enrolled in their child care programming. So you can look into that. Also check if your employer or school gives child care subsidies. It's not unusual for child care programs to offer tuition discounts to their employees as a recruitment and retention tool, and other sectors are beginning to do so as well. For example, Wisconsin Aluminum Foundry, headquartered in Manitowoc, provides its employees with a $400 monthly stipend for child care. Aaron's company partnered with KinderCare to open the Brilliant Early Learning Center just miles from its three Brilliant manufacturing plants, and it provides a 50% care discount for children and grandchildren of Aaron's employees who attend the center. Also, some colleges, especially if they have on-site child care, may also offer care discounts to students and employees. Another thing you can do is look at other areas of your budget where you could cut costs. Well, of course, that's an option for some. Anyway, there are places to look if you're looking for assistance with your child care. That article, again, in case you want to look it up, is from the Appleton Post Crescent. And it has a headline that says, "Struggling to afford child care in Wisconsin? Here's where to find help." 8:17 right now, almost 8:18. Going to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far the segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey man, your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, it was Sam's first day flying solo because Aaron said he was going bear hunting. Aaron's not here this morning.
He's
so
not.
It's either Aaron doesn't need to be here or Aaron's been eaten by a bear.
Gosh, I'd sure hope that Aaron hasn't been eaten by a bear.
Well, he's not there. Now I'm just afraid that if we ring up his phone somewhere out there, Mrs. Bear is going to elbow Mr. Bear and go, is your tummy rumbling?
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Do you support the legalization, regulation, and taxation of legal cannabis in the state of Wisconsin? You said yes! Melissa, that was like 12 years ago! What do you think the hang-up is?
It's the Republicans. They're suffering from reefer madness. They're out-of-touch legislators in the Capitol building who don't want to give a win to Governor Evers and Democrats.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Daytime highs approaching 61 today. Under partly cloudy skies, westerly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Chance for scattered showers. Lows dip down to about 41. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow. Highs around 49. Overcast skies. Dry with temperatures below average Saturday and Sunday and highs in the low 50s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 54.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
On this Thursday morning, 23 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. And the next story that I want to get to is something that we're dealing with for the first time ever in the history of the United States. Speaker of the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C., booted out. Yep, even his own party couldn't save him because of some radicals in his party, and now he's gone. So who are we going to get to replace Kevin McCarthy? And who was it that stoked this whole thing? Well, there is some new reporting coming out of the New York Times that says it was Steve Bannon who was behind this whole move to get rid of Kevin McCarthy. The headline in the New York Times says, from a Capitol Hill basement, Bannon stokes the Republican Party meltdown. The former Trump advisor has helped create the spectacle of GOP dysfunction, using it to build his own following and those of the right-wing House rebels who took down Kevin McCarthy. So what's this all about? This piece here was written by Annie Carney, and it was posted yesterday and updated today. It says on Wednesday morning, yesterday, two Republicans who hours earlier had toppled Kevin McCarthy as Speaker of the House made a well-worn trek to a 19th century brick townhouse a few blocks away from the Capitol and entered the cluttered sanctuary of Stephen K. Bannon's recording studio. Representatives Matt Gaetz of Florida, the instigator of the rebellion, and Nancy Mace of South Carolina, one of seven other Republican defectors, huddled with Bannon for a morning meeting ahead of a joint appearance on his podcast called War Room. Tectonic plate shift here in the imperial capital, Mr. Bannon told his listeners at Showtime while directing them to donate to his guests online. We must stand in the breach now. We have to lance the boil that is K Street in this nation, end quote. From this cave-like studio not far from where Congress meets, Bannon, the former Trump advisor, has been stoking the chaos, now gripping the Republican Party, capitalizing on the spectacle to build his own following and using his popular podcast to prop up and egg on the Republican rebels. Bannon has spent years promoting the lie that the 2020 presidential election was stolen from former President Donald Trump, railing against coronavirus mandates and what he refers to as a, quote, criminal invasion of the southern border, end quote. His obsession of late was toppling McCarthy and taking out what he describes as uniparty Republicans who have become indistinguishable from Democrats. When McCarthy's historic downfall this week, or I should say with McCarthy's historic downfall this week, his wing of the party has claimed its most prominent trophy. Bannon represents a clear through line from the grievance-driven MAGA base to Congress, and his role in the meltdown that played out this week in the House helps explain why the Republican Party appears to be eating its own. He's a vital part of a feedback loop of red meat media hits and social media posts, online fundraising, and unfettered preaching to an often angry and fervently right-wing base that rewards disruptions and detests institutions. We'll get back to more of this piece from the New York Times right after we take a break. Stick around. You're tuned into your local civic media radio station.
Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom Ankrut. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Liz Landers. A massive healthcare workers strike in California. 75,000 Kaiser Permanente workers walking out for 3 days over wages and staffing issues. It's believed to be the largest healthcare strike in history. Now that House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is out, who will replace him? Congressman Steve Scalise and Jim Jordan say they want the job.
One big issue? Will the new speakers support more funding for Ukraine? Congressman Jordan already making it clear where he currently stands on the issue.
I'm against that. The most pressing issue on Americans' minds is not Ukraine.
Another big issue for the new speaker will be whether to do away with the rule that allows a single House member to call a vote to remove the speaker, the rule that was used by Gates that led to McCarthy's downfall.
ABC's Lionel Moyes. A private funeral today for the late senator from California, Dianne Feinstein. She died last week at 90 years old as the longest-serving woman in Senate history. This is ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Lake Air 1260 AM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. The suspect in an Eau Claire bank robbery was arrested in northern Wisconsin yesterday. Maxwell Lubick was taken into custody in Superior after 2 days on the run. He's accused of taking cash from Wisconsin Credit Union on Eau Claire's west side on Monday after threatening workers there. The Eau Claire Police Department said he fled on a dirt bike, which was found on a trail south of the city. The FBI is helping with the investigation. One person is dead after a rollover crash in Burnett County yesterday morning. The sheriff's office said the crash happened before 3 a.m. on Highway 35, about a mile south of Danbury. One person in the vehicle died at the scene. A second person in the vehicle had to be flown to a hospital in the Twin Cities due to their injuries. Drought conditions in Wisconsin held mostly steady from last week. 75% of the state is experiencing drought. That's down from about 80% last week. The worst drought is just south of La Crosse in the Driftless area, while parts of northern Wisconsin, including Sawyer County, are in severe drought. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Medicare open enrollment starts October 15th. Countless mailers and TV commercials will tell you you're missing out on some benefits. But don't be tricked into an Advantage plan you don't need or that doesn't cover your current medication. Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol can help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Visit Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol online at smpwi.org.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Well, he had a little chat with management yesterday, and I did suggest a daily limo and a fruit plate.
How did they take that?
That didn't seem to take that seriously for some reason.
I have full faith in you. You've been doing this for a long time. And you have Greg Bach.
I got a call from management this morning saying if I'd be interested in taking on new roles as a driver and buying fruit plates. That's a career opportunity.
Put that on your resume, baby.
Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Bang a gong. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 8:34 right now on this Thursday morning. If you have an opinion on anything we're discussing today, feel free to call in. I'd like to hear what you have to say. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And right now it's 50 degrees in La Crosse, mostly sunny skies. And Richland Center has 47 degrees with cloudy skies. And just before the break, we were discussing Steve Bannon. You remember that guy? I have a story here from the New York Times with a headline that says, "From a Capitol Hill basement, Bannon stokes the Republican Party meltdown." The former Trump advisor has helped create the spectacle of Republican dysfunction, using it to build his own following and those of the right-wing House rebels who took down Kevin McCarthy. So how do you think this thing is going to end? It's hard to imagine what could happen, or it's kind of scary to imagine what could happen, but hopefully something good will come out of what we're seeing. I was going through this story, and I just left off at the point where it said that Bannon is a vital part of a feedback loop of red meat media hits and social media posts, online fundraising, and unfettered preaching to an often angry and fervently right-wing base that rewards disruptions and detests institutions. So those people got to be loving this, right? Chaos. There is chaos in the government, chaos at the House of Representatives, and that's what they're into, right? I'll pick up right there. It says, in past decades, right-wing rebels on Capitol Hill have encountered trouble getting real traction, shunned by lobbyists and big money political action committees, excluded from leadership suites in the Capitol, and disregarded by Fox News. But with the help of Steve Bannon, who streams live for 4 hours every weekday, Gates, Matt Gates, and others don't need to rely on any of that. Bannon casts the agitators as heroes to his devoted MAGA acolytes and helps boost their small-dollar fundraising. He participates in calls with members and donors. He offers strategic advice. He hounds Fox News hosts who he argues don't give them a fair shake. But mostly, he offers an unfiltered platform where individual rabble-rousers can speak directly to the base, known on War Room as the posse, creating more incentives for them to wreak havoc on the House floor. For weeks, Steve Bannon has been strategizing with Matt Gaetz on the bid to take down Kevin McCarthy, offering himself up as a sounding board as Matt Gaetz plotted his moves. Quote, kaboom, Cannon texted a reporter on Monday night, minutes after Gaetz filed his long-dangled motion to oust the speaker. He has also encouraged hard-right lawmakers to use the House floor to yank legislation as far to the right as possible, earning themselves media attention in the process. His advice to them, quote, get an amendment. Make it as outrageous as possible. Just be on there. Don't worry if you're not on Fox. We'll cut it. We'll play it. End quote. On Wednesday, Bannon introduced his guests on his podcast as the architects and heroes of yesterday and gave them airtime to make a fundraising pitch. Quote, I do need help because they're coming after me, said Mace, who represents a politically competitive district. They've threatened to dry up all my money. I've had multiple members previous to the vote last night threaten to withhold fundraising if I took this vote. It's a huge amount of pressure. They call your staff. They scare them. End quote. Twice, Bannon cued her to spell out her campaign website so that listeners could find it. His audience is still wary of Mace, Nancy Mace, a fiscal conservative who leans toward the center on some social issues and voted to hold Bannon in criminal contempt for defying a subpoena from the January 6th committee. But Bannon sees her as a gift. Her vote to oust McCarthy allowed him and his cohorts to push back on the notion that it was only an angry group of ultra-mega hardliners who had lost faith in Kevin McCarthy. Quote, "Nancy is not a hard right intransigent lawmaker," Gates said on the show. "Nancy is a fiscal hawk," end quote. Nancy Mace has previously called Matt Gaetz a fraud and accused him of opposing McCarthy because he wouldn't defend him against allegations that he sex trafficked minors. But all of that appeared to be water under the bridge the morning after McCarthy's ouster. They were at least temporarily allies. On Wednesday, yesterday, they sat next to each other in Bannon's basement, where books about China, Trump, and sensible weight loss programs live in messy piles on any flat surface that avails itself. Notes from Donald Trump written in his trademark Sharpie sit stacked with other miscellany. And I should mention in parentheses, there's an example of one of these Sharpie notes that says, "Steve," with an exclamation part, a point, an exclamation point, "Your show is so great. Proud of you," exclamation point. Signed, Donald. The group was still digesting the historic events of the previous day while figuring out their next moves. They decided together to use Wednesday's broadcast to look ahead rather than to dunk on the former speaker. And here's a quote. This is from Nancy Mace. He said, or she said, "He was punching down. It was really ugly last night," said Mace, whom McCarthy targeted at his evening news conference, suggesting she was lying when she claimed he had not kept his word. During commercial breaks, they mulled who might be the next speaker, but there was no clear answer. Quote, "I asked Jim Jordan on the floor yesterday, 'You're going to be the next speaker?'" Mace said. She turned to Gates with an idea. "Want to go meet with any of them today together, like Scalise or Jordan or anyone?" He was noncommittal. Bannon was too. Quote, "I'm just going to see how it develops, he said. Excuse me. "Who's got the stones to take on the apparatus?" End quote. So Matt Gaetz has described himself to people as a Bannonite tribalist. So it's like this guy is the Wizard of Oz, Steve Bannon. He's kind of behind the curtain, pulling the strings, pulling the knobs and levers, or turning the knobs and pulling the levers. Gaetz describes himself as a Bannonite tribalist. Steve Bannon, for his part, is in awe of Matt Gaetz, whom he compares to Daniel Webster. He credits the Florida Republican with recognizing early on last year how helpful a slim Republican majority could be to the hard right. Quote, "He sat right here in July and talked about how we weren't going to have a 30 or 40 seat majority, but that was actually going to be better," Bannon said. "We were going to have leverage. He's a very special guy," referring to Matt Gaetz, end quote. Many of the newer rebels in Congress have relied on Bannon for backing as they look to make their own mark. Representative Lauren Boebert, Colorado, said she was grateful to Bannon for recently offering her a slot on his show to talk about the southern border rather than to rehash her embarrassing evening at Beetlejuice. Here's her quote. She said, "Steve is an actual trusted source. He understands that my one personal night out does not impact the work that I've been doing for 4 years. Steve understands the base and what the base wants. I don't go on there for the donor aspect, but I'm grateful when folks do chip in. End quote. Steve Bannon's name is often greeted with an eye roll, even among Trump loyalists. He's seen by some as a man who has made the wrong bet on candidates, like the failed Senate candidate in Alabama, Roy Moore, and has an inflated sense of his own influence. He was charged with defrauding donors who were giving money to build a wall along the southern border before being pardoned by Donald Trump. He was sentenced to 4 months in jail for criminal contempt of Congress for defying a subpoena and is free while he appeals the conviction. But last week, as Steve Bannon's cohort debated amendments to the annual military spending bill on the House floor, Mr. Bannon was glued to C-SPAN like a proud stage parent. Quote, "This is red meat," Bannon exulted, as Representative Matt Rosendale of Montana defended an amendment that would prohibit mandatory coronavirus vaccines for service members, referring to the vaccine as, quote, "an experimental drug." Bannon, an unrepentant agent of chaos, admits he was spoiling for a government shutdown. He said, "You create a firestorm now that totally changes things. People right now think government is a benefit. I'm going to show government spending as cootie infested." End quote. That's a good place to pause. Cootie infested. 8:46 right now. Got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show. Gotta keep cool now. Gotta take care. Last car to pass. Here I go. And the line of cars drove down real slow. And the radio played that forgotten song. Brenda Lee's coming on strong. And the newsman sang his same song.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's your updated forecast.
Daytime highs approaching 61 today. Under partly cloudy skies, westerly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Chance for scattered showers. Lows dip down to about 41. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow. Highs around 49. Overcast skies. Dry with temperatures below average Saturday and Sunday, and highs in the low 50s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 55.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
Stu Daniels Show, 8:52 right now, 54 degrees in Eau Claire, also 54 degrees in Amory. And just before the break, we were discussing this article in the New York Times about the guy behind what's going on in the House of Representatives. It appears as though Steve Bannon is behind the move by Matt Gaetz to oust Kevin McCarthy. The headline from this piece in the New York Times says, from a Capitol Hill basement, Bannon fuels the Republican Party meltdown. And I was to the point in this story from the New York Times. It says, Steve Bannon is also famously temperamental. He has turned on former friends like Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia for backing Kevin McCarthy during the speaker's race and on the debt ceiling deal. She has been blacklisted from his show for months. But after she said she was opposed to any spending bills that included aid to Ukraine, Steve Bannon said he was warming back up to her. There's always a path back, he said. On Wednesday morning, Steve Bannon and his guests tried to temper their glee. Do not allow the posse to get punched drunk, Gaetz said on the show. There was more work to do. Gaetz and Mace, Nancy Mace, stayed for three segments of the show until it was time for Rosendale to pick up the mantle and fire up the bass. I'll talk to you later today, Bannon said as Gaetz showed himself out. And that is how that story ends. It's like he's the Wizard of Oz, right? Behind the curtain, pulling the strings, turning the knobs. And another thing I got to see in an interview when Matt Gaetz was talking to a group of reporters, somebody asked him if he had been on the phone with Donald Trump about getting rid of Kevin McCarthy. And he answered yes. So you could assume from that response that Donald Trump was also egging him on, in addition to Steve Bannon. And it was because of that that Gates decided to go after McCarthy and remove him, vacate him from his speakership position. It's an interesting way to govern, if you can call it that. I don't know if that's what we want to call it, though. It doesn't appear that Republicans, at least at this point, know much about governing. It is 8:55 right now. Got just a few minutes left to the top of the hour. I want to give you a little bit of a story about the national surge in book bans. What's going on with banning books all around the country? What's behind the national surge in book bans? A low-tech website tied to Moms for Liberty. Have you heard about this group called Moms for Liberty? Sounds like a nice group, right? We all like moms. We all like liberty. So if you got Moms for Liberty, that sounds like a nice group of people, right? Well, they're not a nice group of people if you like books and if you like information. This piece is from USA Today, and it was updated just 3 hours ago. We'll get into a little bit of it. It says in August of 2022, a local parent sent the Clay County School District in Florida 8 official requests for reconsideration or review of instructional materials, commonly known as book ban requests. On each form where the district asked what was objectionable about the material, Adam Gilhausen wrote, quote, "See attached paperwork." He then attached book reviews for each title, including Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale, that one for profanity, violence, sexual activities, not for minors, Sarah Gruen's Water for Elephants because of sexual activities and profanity, not for minors, and Alice Siebold's The Lovely Bones with mild profanity, alternate sexualities, again, not for minors. We'll get into this a little bit more in the next hour. Stick around. You're tuned into your local Civic Media radio station.
Paperback rises.
Love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic ABC Media.